Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
AP Taylor. We've had a few technical problems, which happens occasionally, and so this could be the shortest episode of A Team of Voices we've ever had, or alternatively, Linda might call in and we'll try and work out how to transfer this over and get it all sorted, and she can go on with her show as normal, and I'll sit in the background and read some poems. So we'll just see sort of how it all goes. Anyway, in the meantime, I should talk about the fact that there is our show on with A Team of Voices most days. And if you want to find A Team of Voices, you get yourself to allpoetry.com. And from allpoetry.com, you then get yourself to the group A Team of Voices. And if you knock on the door, you'll find Deborah Lee there, and she will let you in, explain how we do things, and then you get to see all of these poems that, with a bit of luck, Linda's going to go through shortly and roll into her show. So here we go. This is Deb herself. Hello, Deb. How are you?
Hey, AP. So listen, I have Linda on the other line with me, so if you could just chat for another two or three, and then watch for my signal, and at that time hang up so she can log into the studio. please.
That's exactly you're just going to send me a text message or something with that, Deb, and then I'll just hang up.
I'll just put hang up on the chat wall as soon as I finish with her, and then but I'll leave mine on there so that it doesn't shut down. So I'm going to put myself on mute, and we'll be back. Watch the chat wall, please.
No problems at all. Okay, well, you've heard all that. We've got Linda, our new host, ready to roll, and so we're just going to get a few things sorted in the background about how that's happening, as you do. And once that's done, I will disappear, and then you will have Liquid Damage there running the show, as we expected all along. So, you know, these things tend to work out if you just give them a moment. So we are going to do a handover of hosts here, as happens in the sophisticated studio and radio that we are. Hello, PM Murphy. Good to see you. And we will get you, Linda, very, very shortly rather than me, because I'm many things, but I'm not Linda. And we, of course, want to hear her and her voice, so because that will be the first time, actually, that we will have had Liquid Damage here on a team of voices, so looking forward to it. I will come back with a program tomorrow, and tomorrow's program, I should say, is it is my birthday tomorrow, technically not my birthday in America when we're doing the show, being the 11th, but very technically it will be the 12th here, and so my birthday when we are doing physically the show. And so we have, if you want to do poems, they basically have to be about me. So it's not anything else really, but just about me. So that's what's happening tomorrow. We've got a program about me. And so that's why we really don't want to be listening to me now, because we're going to get enough of me tomorrow. And one show is more than enough without needing two. So I'm just waiting for the appropriate sequel, and I will disappear and then call back in, and we will go from there. So, I'd like to welcome Linda from Liquid Damage to the team of voices and the hosting roster. It's been a while since we've had a person here, but if you want to be a person that wants to be hosting for a team of voices and you're listening at the minute, by all means, contact Deborah Lee. We love to have new people kicking off and being here and hearing their voices, because to be honest, you know, we can read your poetry or have your sound clouds, which are, you know, we've got a series of tonight from a series of different authors, from Frank, from Kay, from Phil, from Pretty Bird. RS has also put one in. So we've got a series of sound clouds, and that's great, because we get to hear people's voices and their poetry and their own words and their own language and their own phrasing. But if you can't do a SoundCloud and you want to dial in, then you can do that as well, come on the radio and go from there. So the number to call in and read, if you do want to do that, is of course area code 1 for the US, 646-668-2837. So we'll see how that goes, and if we get some people in. So I am waiting for the message for me to click off. So I am going to call off now this phone, and we will talk soon.
Okay, and I am going to chat with you guys for a moment while Linda dials in, and say thank you to AP. And there was just a technical problem at the beginning. So I feel bad because we're so excited for Linda's show, and it's my fault that she's running a little bit late, but she'll be here any second.
I'm here.
There she is. Hey, doll. Welcome
hey.
To your show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Sorry, everybody, for my tardiness.
And that is AP back.
Okay.
And you're in charge. Thank you, AP.
Hi, AP. Thank you I'm better now. I was panicking there for a minute. But thank you so much for covering my butt.
we try to look after each other, Linda, and it's hard the first time because it's, you know, there's certain things you've got to sort of get right in the right order, and if you don't get that right, then it doesn't work. And so it's, you know, I just saw you sort of looking to try and grab Deb and all that stuff, and I thought, well, look, the best thing I can do is just get in and kick things off, and we'll work it out in the background.
It was perfect.
So who do we have?
I was just coming downstairs from a phone call, so I didn't see any of that until he was already logged in. One last note, Linda, before I shut my mouth. Often AP has to hit and run because he's in another country and all that, so I just thought I'd mention it.
Okay. Right. So who do we have on the call already?
I believe it's you, me, and AP.
It's just you, me, and AP. You,
it's
just the three of us.
Oh, that's you,
Jeff. I'm going to stick around for the first hour, Linda. So you've got me for another 45 minutes.
Okay, cool. So I guess since there's nobody here yet, we'll save some poetry. And but I got some jokes. Want to hear a joke?
Go for it.
What's the most musical part of the turkey?
The giblets.
The drumstick. No,
joke.
I got a bunch of jokes for tonight to fill in the dead spots. But
very nice. Very nice. Reminds me of a. I had a poem about a. I think it was a chicken and a duck once, actually, that was sitting on a tree. I had a poem about that.
Oh, right on. I love ducks.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
I want to give a duck.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
Yeah, but the only problem up here is it's the water freezes. If you have them in a little tub, the water freezes in the winter, so you have to make sure that you thaw out their water every day. So it's a big thing to have a duck here.
It's a responsibility. Yeah, no, fair enough, too.
Unless you have them in a heated barn, which is expensive, so.
Of course. Yeah, no, of course. So, as I said, I've got a number of duck poems. So,
why don't you read us a poem?
Well, I can read you one. I'm actually looking for one as we speak. There was a competition once on the site, and the site said, and the competition rules were really very simple, right? And the simple rules were that you could do anything you like, but it had to be 50 words, and you couldn't use the word duck, which I thought was kind of. And so that, and seriously, this was. Mind Shadow, who did some really, you know, cute competitions, and you know, that was his sort of had to be use the word duck, and so I sort of thought that was really cute, so I had to do something for it. But now I'm now searching madly through my back catalogue in 2016 to actually try and find this poem, because I've talked about it.
I bet it was cute. Right.
I'm thinking it's a shape.
Sorry, Deb?
I said I'm kind of thinking it's a sheep for some reason.
Yeah, you see, you know me too well. So that's why, you know, when we do tic mac banjo and stuff, that you're the person who, you know, goes and checks out, you know, what I'm doing, because you know me better than most, Deb. So, but I'm just going to find this poem now. It says it's in here somewhere.
Well, while you're doing that,
it's officially coming up on the wall. So I'll put it on the wall because I don't have it on my.
And Hatter is joining the party.
Oh, cool.
Is that Hatter? Hi, Hatter.
Unmuted. Hi.
Hi, Hatter.
Hey, guys.
And so.
Glad you're here.
It's up on the board as we speak. 50 words, which couldn't be about duck. And it goes like this. Panda has a preference for eating bamboo, which is widely used within Asian countries as support for structures that are being built. So important within construction to remember to wear safety helmets. You never know when items may be dislodged. Always keep ready for that call when alert to cover or end poem.
Bravo, bravo. Very cute. Right on. You nailed it.
There you go. It is.
What did you think about it? What did you think, Deb?
Well, I sort of remembered it. And I think it's very cool. And I'm trying to, Asian countries that support for structures that are being built, so important within construction to remember to wear safety helmets. It's like you wouldn't look at a photo or at a concrete poem of a duck and expect to hear like a safety warning from OSHA or something. Well, I don't know what it's called in Oz. But like it's very clever, and you never know when items may be dislodged. You have to wonder about what kind of items are being dislodged from that duck as he's waddling along. It's just cool. And I knew he would grab the duck, showing off.
And I have to say, I read your other poem this afternoon, and I was just so mesmerized by it. Such a good job.
Oh, but
I'll save my comment. I'll save my comment for later.
Thank you. I decided to put one on that I like reading. So that was the way I decided it.
Right. Yeah. So hi, Hatter.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm cooling off. It's 100 and something.
Right on. Me too. You missed my big debauchery. I didn't have the right numbers to get into the studio. So I called Deb in a panic. It was telling me there was no show scheduled, but I was calling the wrong number. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's a different radio group, but like, it's all good. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Everything's copacetic. We're here. And I'm excited for you. And you got some fans in your chat room as well. Murph's here and Frank's here. And they're admiring a duck as we speak.
Well, should we do some poetry?
We should.
Sounds like a plan.
We should. Deb, do you want to put yours up?
I can do that right now.
Or I
grab
can put it up. I just wanted to know if you wanted to do
that.
It's all
good. While I'm here, I am more than happy to help, and I have it there.
Oh, it's right there.
Yeah, there it is. And this, the prompt is the art that you see. It's an artist that Kay discovered, and she's been trickling her in on different shows. Her name's Agnes Cecil, and she called the art Two Opposing Forces, so I ran with it. And it's called The Two Opposing Forces Clash Tonight. Here we go. Shoulder dwellers whisper in hummed voices. This side says do, but that side gasps, do not dare. And the battle is in the gray between white and black, with collided colors that strangle the lungs' air. Now the darkness laughs at me, pointing at the fading lights blocking every glow. Then the light fights just a shine, kickboxing the black holes that spiral out from the shadow. All my brown hair curls flatten from plunging into the rotations. As the head spins, limbs dangle like sandbags, weightlifting gravity in the motions, bouncing off constellation like pinballs, till the bump spits me out to drown in the ocean. And boom.
Wow. That was beautiful. And that picture is just, like, so cool. And your poem fit that so perfectly well. But I thought it was an awesome portrayal of the battle of conscience between right and wrong, good and bad, even enlightened and doomed. And we were able to choose our way without a battle is the question. Life is a battle always. I thought this poem had great imagery. And let's see, where's the verse I liked? Oh, now the darkness laughs at me, pointing at the faded lights, blocking every glow. Then the light fights just to shine. I love that. Then the light fights just to shine, kickboxing the black holes that spiral out from the shadow. Those are just exemplary verses, Deb. I want to thank you, Deb, for getting me through this and hanging out for a little while tonight. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciated your poem. So let's get you some comments.
Thank you back, and I appreciate you being here hosting a show. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Hatter, what did you think?
I think it's great how she did the black and white, and the line from the battle is in the gray between the black and white. That's a great visual to start the poem. And it just, the good and evil. Like, I think in your time, the good is winning. I think it goes both ways. At different times, the evil is winning. It's a constant battle. What's up, Deb?
Thank you so much,
Adam. Good comment, Hatter. AP, what did you think?
Well, I think the interesting thing about this one is that Deb often colours as her sort of points of difference, and yes, there's the black and white and grey, but the brown curls, but the more interesting stuff is what's actually happening to the place around her and the descriptions of those, the kickboxing, the black holes, the weightlifting gravity, the bouncing off constellations like pinballs, and that to me is really sort of clever descriptive work, and it's not colours but it really sort of gives you a real portrayal of what's going on in that person's head.
Yeah, great comment, because I was forcing myself to hold back on the colours here to mute it and send my direction mm-hmm. somewhere else. So I'm thrilled that you picked up on the lack of colour.
Yeah,
I agree.
And no periwinkle.
No periwinkle. No.
I get that one. So, okay, what happened to my computer? There we go. So, Hatter, do you want to go
yes.
next?
Sure.
Okay, let me,
sorry,
I got your piece.
Okay.
There is your link.
Okay. Come on, computer. Computer, phone. I'm stuck. Come on. There it goes. Okay. This is found in the vault. It's an oldie called Bittering Rain. Like this. Watching the fog as it takes the night, crawling backwards from underground. Darkness feeds on gathered moons without making a sound. Tell the seer when he wakes from sleep, avoid the tales that cause the pain. Listen where the children weep amongst the bittering rain. Pick the fruit from the barren tree and enlist and count the ways to pray for what will surely be the end of these hollow days. Short.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Seeing where I have this. Oh. Hang on just a second. Oh,
Linda,
yes.
I'll be right back. I'm going to run in your green room a moment and see who you got waiting for you.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Hatter, I thought that was stunning. Your rhyme and flow couldn't have been any better, and your imagery was beautiful and soft. You totally bring tears to my eyes. So beautifully written, my darling Hatter. Even the title speaks loudly. I just loved, for some reason, the title on that. And I thank you, my darling, for joining us tonight and being a part of this journey. Thank you very much. And let's see what AP thinks about your poem.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Hatter goes sort of on, and when he gets on a particular piece, you can sort of tell. And so that second verse, I would argue, is when he was really on. That just sort of floated out. Because Bittering Rain's a really interesting description, and you obviously liked it because you put it as the title. But the way that sort of rolls down a page, that second stanza is just beautiful. It's a piece out of, you know, any poet that's been published would be pleased to actually have that in their lexicon. Hatter, it's lovely.
Thank you. It just proves that you can make up a word if you need to.
No, absolutely. No, it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm brave enough to put it in the title.
Yeah, that was... we got somebody coming in here. Come on. Hi, caller. Who's calling?
Hello, Linda, my darling. How are you?
Oh, my darling. Oh, my God. You made it.
Yeah, I woke up early for you.
You are the best. You are the best. Everybody's soul.
And so are
if you.
If you
didn't know. I'm doing well tonight, thank you. I've had copious amounts of coffee today. And I'm staying awake, so.
I'm happy. And I'm sure you're going to rock the show because you are in such a beautiful group with such lovely people around. I think Hatter's also here. Hello, Hatter.
Hello, hi.
I hope you're doing well.
Better, yep. Replacement parts.
That's nice. Deb, I'm just
looking
for...
I got to say hi in the green room.
I know.
I sent her for a poem, Linda, to told her that you were having some poetry.
Actually, I have WhatsApped the link to Linda. I'm just looking to, get into messaging you on... y'all can carry on with the show. I'm on hold. It's no worries. I'm right here.
Okay.
Carry on. Please don't, delay for me. It's really fine.
Cool. Glad you're here. Back to you, Linda.
Okay. Let's get a comment. Deb, did you got to hear Hatter's poem. Did you want to comment on it?
I did. I got to hear.
No, not. Yeah,
I got to hear
him
before I
went
into the room. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I thought that there was a overwhelming amount of emotion that came from this, like crawling backwards from underground darkness feeds on gathered moons without making a sound. It's like really scary. Listen where the children weep amongst the bittering rain. Pick the fruit from the barren tree. I mean, you know, picking fruit from a barren tree is impossible. So, like, there were so many sad images that drove the emotion. And it talk about power and brevity, 12 little lines.
Thank you, Deb.
Good comment, Deb. Sol, did you get to hear it?
I actually couldn't listen to the complete poem. And with me, you know, when I read it, I get a more clearer picture, so because of the accent, you know. So sorry, Hatta, I will read you later.
Okay.
Are you in a rush, my darling?
No, I'm holding. I've sent the link to
Deb. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right here. You please carry on.
Okay.
People are just waking up
well,
in my house. So.
How about we do a SoundCloud from Kay?
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yeah.
Okay, everybody ready? See if I do this
yep.
right.
Crests and powders, the cradle, by Kay. Snow white linens, misted, twixt lavender lakes of light, and trappings of tulips, the frills of fronds, ever so delicate, feathers of air, ribbons through frost, washed in blue, as long as lapels rainforest floor, hushings and twilight's blushings, diamonds, platinum worlds, painted gold, and home.
Wow. This was so absolutely beautiful. Her choices of colors and textures combined to bring out the soft essence of this piece. So many lines that are delicately, that bring out nature's aura and make the poem one of my favorites of Kay's. Even though I said that the last time, I truly mean that this is one of my favorite poems that she's done. Your imaging in this piece just pierced my heart. So I want to thank you, Kay, for sending this over and participating in my new show tonight. It means a lot to me, so thank you. And let's get you some comments. How about AP?
Yeah, look, it's a lovely collection of words, and it's not just the description, but it's the way that the assonance of the words, the way that they come together, you know, lapels, the rainforest florals, gives you that sense of softness, even though you wouldn't think that lapels could fit there. It does when it's read, and it fits so beautifully with the scene. So yeah, really nicely put together.
Right. So
yeah. Can you give me the title of Kay's poem? Because, I mean, you know, the SoundCloud was very soft, very low in volume for me.
What did you need?
I'm going to fix that right now.
Yeah, the link is
okay.
Up on the board.
Okay, I got Kay to send it to me. Okay, it is vintage lace, crests and powders to cradle, right?
Yes.
Hi, AP. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were there. Hello.
Hi.
You know, I have read this poem of Kay's earlier, and, you know, she just loves to play around with metaphors, and I guess this is what she spent probably for Debra Lee's, one of Debra Lee's contests, you know. Even these photographs she's chosen is so gorgeous, but to take it and make it personal is what she really has a knack of, you know. This is like such a splendid weave, you know. I love this when she says, snow white linens misted twixt lavender lakes, hushing in twilight's blushing. I mean, it is such a soothing tone, and to just take an image and, you know, make it so personal from pieces of her, you know, life, like a mosaic, you know, mosaic, and like in trappings of tulips, the frills of fronds. I mean, gorgeous, splendid. It's a delight reading her. And this is one of her very beautiful poems, like brevities, which she's really doing them and doing them so beautifully. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Good comment. Deb.
Yeah, I was just looking to see what I wrote last time because I was fascinated when she brought this, because the gorgeous image at the top with the colors from spring, and then if you scroll to the bottom, it's just as beautiful as the winter scene with the lavenders. So it was like there was a contrast between the two, but she blended them, I think, perfectly, and like stuff with ribbons through frost and hushing and twilight's blushing. I think it's an absolutely stunning brevity. I wrote, Kay, this is stunning, and the imagery throughout is gorgeous, fabulous share. It was just not a whole lot of words, but it had a whole lot of imagery. It was gorgeous.
Good comment, Deb. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm glad to see her writing brevity, shorter pieces. They're more difficult to write, I think. But it's a step in being a better poet, I think. You have to go through the brevity period where you find the power of words. You know, like I always did a three stanza, you know, 12 lines, and find the words, eliminate the redundancy, find the right words to create the power and the beginning and end. It's a good piece. Thank you. In comment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Very lovely, Kay. I was going to say something and now it slipped my mind. Well, that's what goes
with love
growing
that happens,
old.
Especially when you're on air.
I know. Well, let's see. Everybody's commented. AP, did you want to read your poem now or did you want to wait?
No, look, I probably should read it now, I guess, because we're getting close to the top of the hour. So I'll go and grab
that
off your board, because I think I was the first one up. Which is unusual. So, you got it? I think I've got it now. And
I'm just a little slower than you are.
A very, very old favorite of mine.
Let me get back there.
And one that, you know, I must be about 4 or 5 years old now, but one that I never... but I just like reading. So here we go, Linda. This is the Man from Orenburg, inspired by Banjo Patterson, and it goes a little bit like this. Trees were whistling quietly in the shadow of a magpie's call. A tiny clear creek shivered in rocks turned to a tumbling sprawl. The quietest distant splash, platypus descended into chill waters, tumbled through distant leaves, wind rustled in country quarters. Swirls, maelstrom fast, noise upon stone of a single yell star, leading a gleaming Brumby path, guides the Man of Iron.
in worn of dwarven stature, more of deeds and saddle legends. At home in hills is an arc of magpie's lilt, or gentle rain's descent. Coiled stock with hook to the side, well, let us go back. Poised to strike as tiger snakes snap chills and lightning crack. Tiny steed, small as a child's pony, lively quarter horse mark. Poised well forward as chaps flowed, the man of iron bark. Wild mare's intense galloping reflects on narrow gleam. Raised his whip with a twirl, above gallop swirl horses scream. Swaying as boughs of the eucalypt on storm on stiff breeze. Crystal pool hooves clip over pebbles clash shallow leaves. Group disappeared over ridge, dust frozen lengthened arc. Remains the deep black squalls trailing from the man of ironbark. Tiring sun bled rouge into realms orange and dusty pink. Brumby's feet imprint this land in red dust or waters blink. Muddy guides to where signs dissipate, blow on winds stray, until only a memory of film recall, the parade on display. Sunset leaves a panorama of stars, galaxies circling half, as a horseman trails in past nightfall, the man of Irondale. End poem.
Yeah, Banjo Patterson, man. Is it the man from Snowy River? What's the horse race? That's it. The man from Ironbark.
The horse of the Snowy River. Yeah, it's inspired by Banjo. It's my poem, sort of reflecting on the man from Snowy River.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to hear that again.
It's great, Paul.
It is.
Sorry, I was muted. AP, I have heard you read Banjo Patterson, The Man from Snowy River, before, and it was fantastic. And this was phenomenal. And the poem so represents him. I loved the wild imagery it held my interest, along with the strength and vitality of the wild horses. You made this an artistic epic, my lovely friend. Really awesome ink. And I want to thank you for reading and writing such a beautiful poem, AP, and participating and coming to my aid tonight. So thank you very much, AP. Let's get you some comments.
Pleasure, Linda. Thank you.
Let's see, Deb.
Yeah, I think that it's always awesome when he puts his banjo hat on and steps into writing him. And it's funny, but I could always tell if he had just been reading his favorite poet and then wrote, because he sort of picks up the pattern of the rhyme. And Banjo Patterson definitely is a pro at writing long lines and well, this would be a brevity, but long poems. And to carry that rhyme and flow through for so much it is incredible. And to do it to tribute or be inspired by a poet that means that much to a person is really awesome. And like, if you haven't heard him read The Man from Snowy River, I've been bugging him to send me a recording of it because I want to keep it on file for prosperity. But, I think that it's a fine tribute to his quill as well as your pen. So it was great to hear you read it again.
Thanks.
I think it's the next game show.
Yeah, it's the...
My name is Banjo Patterson. No, my name is Patterson.
Yeah, it's kind of like you channel him in a way, which is really cool. But did you think, sweetheart?
Hello?
My soul?
Yeah. Yeah,
what
my
you
gosh.
Think about
this is like...
poem?
It is, wow. It is so splendid in its imagery, you know.
vibrant imagery, I can say, with the cadence and sound and lights, like you know, like you are watching some show. You know, it was. I mean, you know, like if I can read a few lines, like quietest distant splash, platypus descended into chill waters. This just made me smile. It was such a cute imagery. And wild mare's intense galloping reflects on Narrows Gleam. But what took the cake was sunset leaves a panorama of stars, galaxies circling. I mean, like, sunset leaves a panorama of stars. This is so breathtakingly beautiful. You have, you know, you have created truly, I mean, you know, kind of Broadway, you know, over here with your imagery. And I know that you are also like me, a slave of rhyming, but somehow this just flowed like a river, you know, from one part to the other, and everything was so beautiful, AP. And thank you for introducing the poet. I wasn't, you know, familiar with his work. I will look into it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Laughing so. Thank you.
Cool comment. And Heather, did you want to say something else?
Just that I really relate to how Banjo Patterson writes. So I appreciate every time AP breaks something out or writes something in this style. Excellent.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I love it. I just love the whole Western thing. My TV is set on ISPN, which is the Western station, and I never change the channel. I watch Westerns all day, all night. I'll watch Westerns forever. So I really love the horses and the whole cowboy thing. So I really loved it. Thanks. And I think it's time for another SoundCloud. And I think we'll go to Phil.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Acorn Manor. Dreams are woven within the walls of Acorn Manor. Words penetrating deep within love's banner. The pen skates along the virgin white screen. Bleeds with tears at what is yet to be seen. Stories are birthed within the chambers of Acorn Manor, breaking the bedroom mirror with a silver hammer. Pieces lying like a stutterer's rhyme upon the floor, seeps into reality through the hole in the door. Peek inside the window to see the story unfold. Follow the adventure, becoming so courageous, so bold. The quill skips as it dances upon a maiden's heart, seeking the one who charmed her so after dark. This is the place where the imagination is created, where intense drama and fun anticipated, all within this little house in an enchanted wood, where it's pouring forth from a poetical flood. Turn the handle and step through the door, enter into a world you've never seen before. The turn of a key and the light goes out. Trembling with fear, you wonder what it's all about. Welcome to my humble abode, my perfect creation. Brought forth from pen and paper incantation. I can fulfill all your needs, your yearning desire. I'll crumple you up and throw you on the fire. End poem.
Wow. Phil. This was an awesome poetry, taking me on a guarded journey, not knowing what's going to transpire next, good or bad, but something exciting is about to come. Your imagery is fine-tuned and your metaphors are well thought out. I love the playfulness of this piece. The last verses sums it up. I can fulfill all your needs, your yearning desire, crumple you up and throw you on the fire. Nice rhythm and flow, as Phil, as Your poem is sweet. Thank you, my darling, for participating tonight. I truly appreciate it. And with that, we'll get Phil some more comments. Sol, what did you think?
Muted. Unmuted.
Hello, Sol?
She said she was going to call on another line to save the international or something to that effect. So give her a moment.
Okay.
But I would love to comment if you'd like.
Okay. Deb, the floor is yours.
Awesome. This is actually one from one of my shows, and if you scroll to my comment under the poem, you'll see the cute little mushroom acorn hut that he wrote to. He totally brought that photo to life. He does an amazing job with bringing a story to the art that he chooses from my shows. And I was just looking on the side there. It's like a multi-award winner, and it was a front page pick, and it has over 1,000 views. So, like, it's a popular poem, and it's easy to see why, because the details that he puts in there, and then couple it with he's a great reader, and his pronunciations are awesome, so I like listening to him read. So it was really fun to get to hear it again. Glad he sent it.
Right on. AP, what did you think?
Well, I might comment and then sort of disappear, Linda, but I liked the way that he set up the rhythm of the poem. And the dreams are woven within the walls of Acorn Manor. It's a lovely way to establish what you're going to do, and then he repeats at the start of the second stanza as well. And some of the clever ways that he talks about things, pieces lying like a stutterer's rhyme upon the floor, really very, very clever, the way that he describes things. And as always, you know, when Phil does a wonderful job of speaking his own work and presenting his own work. So I really enjoyed it, Linda. So with that, I'm going to head stage left and wish you all the best with your very first show and many more to come. And we will talk soon.
Thank you, AP. Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening.
Please. Thank you. Okay, talk soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hatter, would you like to comment?
Yeah, Phil the poet does his work. I mean, sending these recordings, I think, makes it so much more powerful when he reads his own work. And this is a great example of how an accent can create rhyme. Now, I didn't notice it at first. I don't think anybody else did, but I could never rhyme. Where is it? Okay. All within this little house in an enchanted wood, words pouring forth from a poetical flood. But his accent, they rhyme very well. I thought that was very interesting.
Right.
I remember getting comments that I use near rhyme with when they I get it from an English poet. So this is great, though. Never let us down.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. Let me see what we got going here.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You have a couple of them that need readers.
Right, I was just going there.
The only reason I bring that up is because I thought it might be easier to do the SoundClouds after I hang up, just in case you wanted me to read any of those. And Hatter, can you please look at your inbox? Sorry, Linda. Thank you.
Yeah, Deb?
Yes, ma'am.
A matter of fact, I did want to ask you if you would read Rhonda's poem.
I sure will, because I'm going to have to leave to go get my son. So I, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. It's got like almost 40 awards.
Oh, wow.
And a front page pick. That's amazing. And yes, I would be totally honored to read for her. And I am, in case you haven't, I'm putting that link on the board right now.
I got
now.
It. Woo-hoo.
Okay. Cool.
Beat ya.
All right. So this, you beat me. This is Tipsy by Nature's Paintbrush by Rhonda Yasri. I apologize if I butchered your name. Here we go. The breath of the wood enticing, the mystic, resinous odor, pine needles blending with the perfume of the delicate braids of untamed grapes. Wealthy hills jeweled with creeping flocks filling the air with a heavenly scent that rivaled lilacs. The smiling silk creek ushering in the magical floating memories. The blanket sun peering over through a blue visible sky, circling her head like a golden crown. The shades of bright costumes of trees with fresh leaves waving softly in the breeze, dancing a slow waltz. Standing in stark contrast against the showy wildflowers spring. The woods carpet, shaped and colored by a skillful artist, wakened after a tough winter to welcome the approaching summer season. The fiery pathos of passion spilling gracefully, pulse beats 100 to the minute, murmuring ethereal songs and beckoning a new taste of life. End poem.
Wow. Wow. You read that beautifully, Deb.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I thought this piece was beautiful. The way she describes the beauty of spring and summer is awesome, and her imagery is quite vibrant and lovely. This piece reminds me of the forest where I grew up and the meadows surrounding it. It brought back such lovely memories through her beautiful descriptions, and to me that's one of the finest things a poem can do is bring back lovely memories. It's hard to do, to instill in somebody the past and bring that heartfelt love that you had for a moment before, and this poem did that for me. Just this, I could smell it, I could feel it and hear it. And she did just such an amazing job on this. Rhonda, I'd like to thank you for sending this piece over to my show tonight. It means a lot to me that you participated, and I want to thank you again. So let's get you some more comments. Deb, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, it's definitely a beautiful and impressive write. It flowed off the tongue, and it created so many gorgeous images. But not only that, I could almost smell some of the flowers that she mentioned and practically feel the breeze. It's just tranquil. And I love that she called it nature's paintbrush. I've done that myself, Mother Earth's paintbrush. I mean, there are a lot of beautiful colors in the world, and we find them in nature. And that concept is displayed beautifully through this poem. And then, as I pointed out before I read, nearly 40 awards. I mean, it's got golds and silvers and bronze, and it's got every award that there's offered here on All Poetry. It's been on the front page, and it's impressive enough that it's easy to see why, and it was truly my honor to be her reader tonight. Fantastic share.
Yeah, I'd like to read the poem that beat her out, because I can't see it, you know, in a contest that this just wouldn't take gold. And if she took a bronze, I would love to read that poem that took the gold.
Yes.
It must have been fantastic. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, she had no problem taking us back to an image. To me, it was the creek on the farm and the trees and how in one you could be with it. Yeah, the creek, the smell, the trees, the canopy. I liked where I said the shades of those bright costumes of trees with fleshy leaves waving softly in the breeze. Yeah, dancing.
Right. Cool. And Soul, what did you think, sweetheart? Oh,
she didn't
back
dial
yet.
Back, hon. I don't know what's up. She's going to.
Okay. Well, let's see. We have Hatter. Would you like to read Patrick Murphy's poem?
Sure.
Let me go grab it.
If you could post it, for me, yeah.
Yeah, hang on. I'm a little slow when it comes to doing this stuff.
So that's all right.
So, but I'm learning.
Oh, I told you, I had her spoiled. I usually do it for him, so it's all good.
Let me see. It says down at the bottom somewhere. There it is. Come on. Just a second. I got it coming up. Right.
103 California.
Now.
Okay, I see it. Swimming. Okay. Everybody got it?
Yep.
Okay. It's like this. I've always wondered what the waves felt like. Dipping below the waist, what it's like to 0 degree dive all nude into the waters and not come back up, what it's like to know that the sun doesn't exist, and if I swim deep enough, I can touch the sand. I can touch sand. I've always wondered how the fish get their gills and why I can't be like one too. That simply swimming carefree in the world around us, not being frozen stiff, eating away the coral in poem.
I thought that was cute, but I thought it was an awesome poem, making me think about these things as well. You captured the dreamy state of swimming, and your imagery was cool and full of nicely designed pictures of the water. I like the way you ask questions in your poem. That is thought-provoking and a nice way to bring your readers into the story. Patrick, thank you so much for sending us a piece of poetry tonight. I really appreciate it a lot. And with that, I will get you some more comments. Deb, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was a really clever brevity, especially like the part what is it, like 0 degree dive, all nude into the waters and not come back up? What's it like to know that the sun doesn't exist? But it was just like the image of jumping in there and not realizing how cold it was set my head in a couple different directions, which I found fun. And why I can't be like one, two, that simple swimming, carefree in the world around us. I thought he did a really clever job with this, and I'm glad he sent a poem in, too. Awesome, and a great read, Hatter.
Right on. Yeah, Hatter, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know what it would take. It probably it's just the breathing thing. If we could get over the breathing thing, we could probably be a little more aerodynamic in the water. I mean, wouldn't it be nice?
Dynamic.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to be able to be, you know, able to just get the oxygen from the water? But then you're in. Then you lower yourself on the. On the predator prey.
Right.
So true. Hey, Linda.
Yeah.
I have a request. But first, I want to tell you, you're doing a magnificent job. It's always fun to show up for open poetry, and you get such a great variety, and it's nice to see people dropping poems on the board for you. And I'm looking forward to many, 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 many shows to come. And I
only have
a few more minutes, and my request is if you would read your poem so I get to hear you before I have to go, and then Hatter will hang with you after I leave.
Okay. Okay.
And it looks like Deep Laughing Soul has returned.
Yes, she has.
Yeah.
Did you hear Patrick's poem?
Yeah, I didn't hear, but I read it, and
okay.
I'll make the comment short that, you know, because of such vague thoughts, I think we girls feel we have a mermaid soul in us, you know, somewhere.
Right.
I love swimming. I mean, you know, I can just get into the water at any time of the day, and I enjoyed this poem. I mean, he's a good writer. He's a great poet. So this was another fun write. The underworld
is
beautiful. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, where are we here? Oh, there we are. Okay, I'm putting mine up on the board. I believe.
Already there.
I know it's a little long, but I tried to, it's not that long.
Your show, your
I think that you will really like this one. If you guys, I know, are hip to Poe and the story of Telltale Heart, I wrote this directly cross-referencing the story, so it goes pretty much like the Telltale Heart, but it is called a Telltale Fart. And it goes like, mad, but I am not, so I can tell you of this man whose flatulence was but a plague, hence I came up with a plan. Every night when we'd sup, he'd sit back in his chair, and then he'd let his bowels to rip. This sent me on a dare. It's not just that, but through the day, he never tried to quit. He'd let them fly and covered up by announcing some crude wit. One fine day when we'd sat and drank a pail of cider, he let one fly and then replied, it must be barking spiders. Now every night this went on, he never let one free, and so I felt that he aimed his butt direct at me. But 'twasn't true, he labored not to send his evil smell direct at me, but rather he was aiming straight at hell. But I couldn't stand it, so I came up with a plan. If he wouldn't stop his farts, I'd murder this old man. So every night for 1 week at midnight, I came spying. But horrendous was his bedroom air. I swear that I'm not lying. It happened on the 8th night. When I came, I made a sound. It woke the man, and that made his flatulence abound. Now smelling all his hot gas is really not a plus, as well as all the gruesome smells coming out of his anus. So that is when the time came to kill the old man fast, but I couldn't take much more, because I couldn't take much more of the old man's gas. I came and flipped his bed on he, and he became stone dead, but now it came a smelly thing now haunting me instead. You couldn't call me crazy, for his body I did hide underneath the floorboards, as I knew unsanctified. His blood dripped in the bathtub through the floors just underneath. You couldn't find a trace of him from toenail to his teeth. Now he be dead, but haunts me still, but not with beating heart. I could smell old rotten eggs just like the old man's farts. The neighbors called on the police because they heard the screams. I told them that it must have been me waking from a dream. So then I invited them in to taste some tea. I sat on the very boards above where the body be. After searching this old house, nothing could they find. That's when they chose to sit and chat. I began to lose my mind. I could hear the farting still coming from the dead behind. I feared if it continued, the police would surely find. Then my head began to hurt as farts got louder still. Soon I couldn't stand it and began to lose my will. Louder, louder they became. I screamed, I'm not a nut. But can't you hear the farting coming from the dead man's butt? Yes, indeed, I killed him. I can't take it any longer because he haunts me with his gas. Each moment it gets stronger. And so 'twas I arrested for this gruesome murder done. So remember, farting is not reason to go and off someone. End poem.
Oh, my God. This is classic. This is great.
Oh, got tears running down my face.
Yeah.
Linda, you couldn't possibly know this, but one of my father's claims to fame was that he was proud of his farting and like he could gas a room. And when you said about the smell, I was like, yeah, that was my father. You stuff into his bedroom, and it was like a gas chamber. And it was just like,
right.
I literally have tears running down my face. This is hysterical. You're brilliant. This is priceless.
Thank you, my darling.
And I don't even know what else to say except you are a rock star. This is incredible.
Right on. Thank you,
and,
Deb.
Thank you for reading that, but I do have to depart. And again, you're doing a brilliant job. I'm so happy you're part of the team. And love and respect.
Thank you, Deb. Love and respect.
This is so well done. Yeah.
So, Heather, what did you think?
I was laughing the whole time. This is great. I love the louder and louder they became. I screamed, I'm not a nut. But can't you hear the parting from coming from the dead man's butt? Well, the cadence was spot on all the way through, and that just adds to the pleasure of reading it or hearing it.
Right. Thank you, Hatter.
Got the heart.
And Miss Soul. Is she? There you are.
Oh, jeez. I know I have heard you read this before, and but once again I just couldn't stop laughing, and I was reading online. I'm sharing the link on the board. You know, 51% of people divorce their partner for farting. So,
oh, wow.
There are, you know, we don't realize, but, farting and snoring are reasons for divorce, you know. And,
right.
can understand what you cannot kill someone with that stink, you know. You just cannot. You did the right thing, Linda. You know, cheers.
Right. Well, thank God Jerry hasn't divorced me for snoring because I am a terrible snorer.
I understand. Jerry,
I've gotten him
darling.
In trouble before. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Okay.
So does that fall under irreconcilable differences?
Yeah.
Or can you list it on your divorce?
Right on. Right. There's got to be something it falls under. Irreconcilable smells and sounds.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Voices. Okay, Phil, do we have a piece for you, sweetheart?
Yes, I have. Are you asking me? Yes, I have shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to read now?
Sure. Might as well.
Okay. Okay. Just give me a moment, please. I don't know where I've you've shared on the board, not temporarily. I think I've missed the link.
Well,
so
while
sorry.
You find that, that's okay. You find it, and I'll tell a joke.
Okay.
I have a good joke. Okay. I got thrown out of the park for arranging the squirrels by height. They didn't like me criticizing. I like that one. Did you know that there's 119 grooves on a quarter? This joke I made up. And 108 stitches on a baseball? There are 45,000 species of spiders, 360 species of dogs, and 11,000 species of birds. Man, if man were like spiders, just think how many species of assholes there'd be. A neutron walks into a bar and asks how much for a drink, and the bartender says, "For you, no charge." Okay, you ready, Sol?
Yeah, I've got my phone, yeah.
Okay, is it okay? Let me refresh because I don't.
Yeah, it's called Blooming in Bliss. Oh, Rose, tell me how doth one stays humble, but blooming with thorns, a life ambrosial. How shall I unfurl petals of my mind by simply blossoming fragrances kind? Who can teach me the art of devotion? Dawn to dusk, watch sunflower in motion. And when haunted by darkest night, what's bliss? Bloom with grace, knowing tomorrow death shall kiss. End poem.
That was beautiful. Oh my gosh, I really liked that. Your verses were so soft and like inviting. It just all around had a loving feel to it. And your questioning in it again, I love it when poets question us in their poetry. But this was a beautiful piece, so I want to thank you, number one, for bringing this beautiful piece to my show, and number two, just for being here. I'm so glad you made it. So, Hatter, what did you think?
I was unable to follow. I don't see it posted.
Yeah, I didn't see it posted either. I couldn't find it.
I'll share the link. 1 minute. Oh, yeah, I've shared
there
the link
go.
On the board.
You want to read it again?
If you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead and read it again. That way we can read along.
Okay. Blooming in bliss. Oh, Rose. Tell me how doth one stays humble by blooming amidst thorns a life ambrosial. How shall I unfurl petals of my mind by simply blossoming fragrances kind? Who can teach me the art of devotion? Dawn to dusk, watch sunflower in motion. And when haunted by darkest nights, what bliss? Bloom with grace, knowing tomorrow death shall kiss. End poem.
Wow. Now I see other things in there. That was awesome. Hatter, what did you think?
Was this Blooming in Bliss?
Thank you.
Was that the poem?
Yeah, Blooming in Bliss.
Yeah.
It was. Okay, because I just caught the end by the time I got there. Yeah, beautifully read. Say it in French?
Yeah.
Can you read it in French?
French. I don't know French. So sorry.
Oh.
I can say it in Hindi if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. No one will get it. This is actually one of Marius, his contests where you have a strict syllable count and, question and answers. And the theme was flowers. So that's why it's in this kind of style and pattern.
Well, I was hoping more people would come before we did Frank's because he's always so very entertaining. So let's do RS's. Let's do Pretty Birds. There we go.
So Many Pages in Years of Wasted Time by Pretty Bird. I have over 1,000 books. I haven't read near half of them, but I learned how to make paper that might inspire someone else to ink words or thoughts or art or anything that is more creative than I seem to be. Too thick, too thin, too mottled, too plain, I mix the slurry by hand, just to glean a moment of good enough in the finished product that no one ever sees but me. I learned to sew text blocks by hand like I'm going to actually bind my own journals, but I haven't written in the 152 multi-sized notebooks I already own. They're just too pretty to ruin with my broken ramblings and unclear verbiage. I own full sides of leather to forge the kind of old-world, hand-bound, rustic beauty that I imagine our ancestors held close and whispered their secrets in quilled calligraphy. They're still in shipping boxes, pristine. People have lined up waiting for them, but the idea of them far exceeds the finished product because I haven't finished anything yet, but I will, eventually. Eventually, I will take my beautiful paper that only became beautiful after months of not looking at it, and I will take those finished text blocks that are imperfectly sewn in a hard learning curve that no one will ever see through that hardcover exterior. Eventually, I'll bind them all in superhero nerd book cloth that I have made by hand because not everyone likes leather. Yes, everything is touched and molded and tested and loved in every stage by someone who cannot see the beauty in anything she does until it's far enough away to forget that I hoped it would turn out differently. I will never understand the interest in things I do, but that collection of journals that keeps growing includes other artisans' handmade varieties that are too precious to sully. It's the imperfections that are most lovely. Deckled edges and cockled pages speak to my soul and all the care two hands took to make every single one. Maybe I once thought I would print my words on those handmade pages in a hand-bound book. But how could I sell such a labor of love, and who would want to pay what I think it's worth when I think it's worthy at all? I read my favorite books over and over, but can't seem to remember writing words that look back at me in all their purged honesty, averting my eyes from the shameless, unfiltered outpouring, like I had some nerve forcing people to read such blather. I have over 1,000 books. I haven't read near half of them, but I learned how to make paper that might inspire someone else to ink words or thoughts or art or anything that is more creative than I seem to be.
Wow. Well, I think this was absolutely beautifully sad, but happy as well. Sad because you don't feel your writing is good enough for your journals, well, I say enough of that. Your writing is superb and would only add to the beauty of the journals, and happy because it calls for hope and faith that you are an amazing artist. And I thank you for sharing your heart and soul with us tonight, Pretty Bird. I'm glad that you had time to send this piece over. So I will get you some comments. Soul.
Yeah, I couldn't read the poem. And so for me to, you know, comment is a little difficult. And if you don't mind, can I disconnect and... I'll be there for your next show. And once again, like, I want to thank everyone for welcoming back and for all the love. Thank you. Bye, Hatter. AP,
all right, sweetheart.
Linda,
I love you, darling.
Thank you, my dear. Love you, too. Thank you so much. Have a nice night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Good night.
Hatter, what did you think of the poem?
I love the way she talks to you. It makes her a conversation throughout the whole thing. It was posted. It was posted later. I didn't get it till late, so I wasn't able to follow. But
I'm still reading.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's my bad. I'm still getting used to trying to get the links up in time. But
that's okay.
I think we'll do a SoundCloud, and I'm going to get the link up first before I start playing it. Well, where am I here? I'm going to go the back route and find Marius. Where are you, darling?
I'm going on mute for,
there we go.
A few minutes. I'm going on mute for a few minutes.
Okay.
I'll still be here.
Okay. And I am by myself, everybody. Here we go. Okay. Back to the studio. Oh, Marius needs a reader, so I suppose I will read Marius's poem. Marius's poem is titled Uvalde, and it goes like this. A dark shadow wraps the earth. Springs of tears spring up in the saddened hearts. Never-ending rains of hurt and pain. The sun fades. The stars lost their light. So many questions unanswered. Morning songs echo the suffering souls. The silence cries out. The scream is silent. Parents weep for their children, refusing to be comforted because there are no more. The angels are sad. God is crying. Way too early. White roses bloom in heaven. Way, way too early. In poem. And that was by my friend Marius, who is an absolute darling writer. And I said, this piece is so heart-wrenching, Marius, but speaks the truth so well. You have a designed sense of tragedy here, speaking out of such senseless debauchery that has no place in this world. The imagery here is beautifully put forth, intricately drawn like beautiful piece of art. The sadness in this is heartbreaking and pointless. You did a fantastic and tasteful job at bringing this to light. Thank you so much, Marius, for participating in my show. You're the best. And Hatter, are you back?
Yes, I am.
What did you you hear?
Yes, I
Marius
did.
Poem.
Very moving. It's got the sun fading, the silence cries out, screams in silent. The angels are sad, and God is crying. Very powerful. Well,
yeah.
Done.
Yeah, he is. Are you hip to Marius?
I'm not familiar, no.
He's somebody I brought over from LCN, but he is such a fantastic writer, and
yeah.
He usually writes love stuff for his wife, and you should hear his love poems. Oh, my God, they're so beautiful. But he's just a fantastic writer, so I'm glad he was able to send us a piece to read tonight. So,
does he record? Get him to record.
Yeah, he does usually, and I don't know why he didn't tonight. And he's got this accent, and he speaks in such a soft, mellow tone that it's just enchanting, his poems. But
He usually does send recordings?
Yeah, he usually does SoundClouds, but he didn't tonight. He just said he needed a reader.
Okay. Cool.
So, let's see. Who else do we got? We got Frank and R.S. Morris. So let's go back to the studio. And
okay, I got to go back on mute. I got to take care of something, but I'm going to be here just a couple minutes, I hope. Okay?
Okay, well, I'll tell a couple jokes before I put the poem on.
Okay.
Because everybody likes a good joke, even if they are stupid. The right eye said to the left eye, "Between you and me, something smells." I once stayed up all night trying to figure out where the sun went. Then it dawned on me. Where do teachers go on vacation? To Times Square. Wah, wah. What do you call a belt made of watches? A waste of time. Why is it for an ice company to commit fraud? Their assets are already frozen. How did the barber win the race? He knew a shortcut. What's a pig's favorite karate move? A pork chop. Your nose can't be 12 inches long or else it'd be a foot. Wah, wah, wah. Why did the cookie go to the hospital? Because it felt crummy. Why did the football coach go to the bank? To get his quarterback. Where do boats go when they're sick? To the docks. I'm so good at sleeping, I can do it with my eyes closed. It really takes guts to be an organ donor. And with that, I am out of jokes. So I will take this time right now to bring up my show at La Cosa Nostra next Saturday night. That's the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern. I tell more stupid jokes and a little trivia, and we have a lot of fun. So come and join us there. And then remember my show here at A Team of Voices every second Friday of the month, and the topic is open poetry. So thank you for joining us. I'd like to also take this time to thank everybody who showed up and sent a piece. AP, thank God you saved me. Deb, you saved me as well. Hatter, thank you for being here and hanging out. Soul, thank you, my darling, for getting up early to be here. Marius, for sending over such a beautiful piece. Pretty Bird, you as well. Patrick, you killed tonight. Rhonda, as always, your pieces are so lovely. Phil, you as well. Just knock me out with your beautiful poetry. And Kay, you have now become one of my favorite poets. Your poem tonight just was absolutely beautiful. So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight, as slow as it's been. But maybe next Friday night we'll have more people. I did invite a whole bunch of people, and they didn't come, so I'm going to rag on them tomorrow. But who knows? It's Friday night, and people got places to go. So who wants to spend the night on the radio? But we've had fun. And with that, I'm going to play R.S. Morse's piece.
It's freezing out here today. Don't know how things went so astray. No matter, we fight this war anyway. This country, Lincoln, he did betray. Marching in fields we can't see, shooting at brothers, a lot like me. Destroy them, said Lincoln's decree. Marching out tomorrow for Tennessee. Can't even light fires to stay warm. Location to the Yanks, they would inform. Fighting frostbite from the latest snowstorm. Lincoln demands the South's total reform. Our tents are leaking cold air. They never see home again, we're aware. Our gray coats ripped and threadbare. Our kepis frozen to our matted hair. Frostbite on our feet and toes. We volunteered this life we chose. Even the rivers stopped their flows. We have to steal dead Yankees' clothes. We're all in this fight together. Even if this war takes forever, our skin now tough as leather. Our second worst enemy is the weather. In the third year of this bloody war, we all want it like it was before. Losing brothers, mother's tears pour. This was life in the winter of 1864.
Wow. This was phenomenal presentation of the Civil War. The imagery was so deep and honest, and the rhyme scheme in this piece is nothing but the best. I love the history that he talked about, letting us know the horrible sights and sounds and feel of this ugly war. I want to thank you, R.S., for coming tonight. It means a lot to me that you delivered such a fine poem. And Hatter, did you get to hear that?
I broke off and had to call back. No, I wasn't able to. But I love the way you record. They're always so well done.
The music, too, behind it made it so realistic, to the time. But if you get a chance to read it, it's a very cool poem. So anyway, we got 15 minutes to go, and I'm out of jokes.
Yeah. Well, we can call it early.
We got Franks. We got Franks. That's right.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So let me Let me go find Frank's. And I'm not quite. Oh, there it is. That was easy. Yeah, boy, it'd be helpful to have like six hands doing this. There we go. Okay, Frank. Link's on the board. And here we go.
In the Arctic it began, with an eerie sound that rattled a poor little girl. An unknown demonic force that controlled her soul and mind completely, making her bizarre and causing her to levitate and speak in tongues. There was nothing that could save her, except an exorcism. Two Jesuit priests were summoned to perform the religious act, after the strength had failed to see the devious shadow in her. Fever had triggered sudden convulsions and rapid heartbeats. They were not mere nightmares nor psychedelic dreams conjured. The poor little girl was possessed by Pazuzu, an ancient demon from the ancient mysteries, the Babylonian secrets, awakened from the ravenous death of the chasm of hell. A dreadful and sinister servant of the legend of Lucifer. Beware of the looming nocturnal shadow of the fiend, for he will lurk in the darkness of your racking mind, to torment and haunt you with an implacable insanity, in a powerful hunger to devour you like a doomed prey. Lust is the one sin that he makes you succumb to temptation. Terror is the merciless vengeance of his unholy perversion. Look into his eyes. You will see Pazuzu, not Captain Howdy.
Is that it?
I don't know. He didn't do the laugh. I'm waiting.
Wait for it. You did it to me again, Frank. You always do. Frank, you are the master of macabre and the deputy of doom and despair. Awesome, right? You brought back horrible memories of The Exorcist. Great imagery sent haunting chills down my spine. I was reading that book one summer when I was 13, and my grandmother found it in my small cabin where I stayed in the summer, and she burnt the book.
she actually burned the book. But my grandma was a, you know, just a down to the bone Christian, and she found out I was reading The Exorcist, and she blew a cog. But I remember that book well. But I want to thank Frank, you for always sending such a chill down my spine and such a giggle at the end. So I want to thank you for reading for my show. It means a lot to me, Frank. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, the tubular bells in the background was great throughout the thing. So he found it, must have found it in a loop. I added, yeah, it
right.
was very demon-like. Scared the shit out of you.
Right on. Okay, let me see. Where's that? Soul's gone. And I think we have one more that should be on the board. From E1, Anonymously Known. And would you like to read it, Hatter?
Yeah, I see it. I really don't have my eyes right now. Can't see too well.
Oh, okay. I got it. 574 words, all in earnest. Wondrous, one hand always washes good and cleanses the other. Fear not this message. Fear the hand covering the half-empty vessel. In the service of other, we find our infinite freedom of our Creator and with everything within this moment altogether. No, there is no greater effort. I'm experiencing these below and above facts as the truth for myself, for all of life, for everyone. So why do I care really what people believe, think, or feel about me or about any writing that comes out of me? I still ask for honest hope for myself just as much as for you, as I pray that we'll begin our journey together today together by making this journey a certain journey that is all indefinite. If I am loving and living within these ways below and above, I'll never lose anything. No, with these efforts, I stake my claim to sanity, gorgeous, generous freedom, general harmony with all life, the relative peace with any of our shortcomings. What more do any of us need? Thanks for this post. How can we see God? I hope that these words have and will be and remain honestly helpful. God bless you within these below and above efforts, friend. None of us are any closer nor any farther away from our Creator. Some are just left, are more aware of His presence within this moment. We see our Creator through the truth of our personal need for Him, for His certainty, for His strength and stamina and gracious consistency. Yes, He is here within these honest-minded, open-hearted, and willfully willing ways for everybody. I believe that the so-called Bible is written upon our every ever emotional soul, heart, body, and mind. In following our honest need for Him through our every action with and through these blessings below and above, He reveals Himself fully within us every step of the way, ever deeper, even ourselves with Him towards His higher will for all life. In our need for full security, His love for us for all life is forever exemplified through His Son Jesus, unconditional acceptance in every action upon the perfected balance of our Creator's everlasting love for all life through all things within this part of every moment. Moving on with all life, add all infinitely more. So why not us? To never have to consider anything other than to love or to be loved, to never have to question anything less nor anything more, to welcome the wealth of the moment, to thank our Creator for all life with vigorous appeal, to live with no regrets is to be animal. blood to blood time, the time is now, of many talents. It's just how we each use them to bring about relative peace, generous freedom, and general harmony is the only truth within us that makes us any different. We're either the treasure for this world or the tragedy. Our Creator never denies anything nor anyone that he seeks him in earnest. I hope that these ideas help you in your search for the security of the infinite and unconditional love of our Creator. These ideas below and above are and have always helped to secure me just as much as I remain open to him, to the gracious service of them. I am praying for you and for all that you love, this very same blessing. Happy Father's Day, friend. Signed, anonymously known, in poem. And
it's a prayer.
Yeah. I thought it was so beautiful. I just love how he describes his love for the Lord, and the imagery was bright and artistic, and he walked us through the love of the Lord on such an ideal and trusting way. Your verses are well thought out, and you have some lovely metaphors written here. The fourth verse, especially, let me see which is the fourth verse. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, if I'm loving and living within these ways below and above, I'll never lose anything. No, within these efforts, I stake my claim to sanity, generous freedom, general harmony with all life, the relative peace with any of our shortcomings. I just love that, especially right to the point and very clever. I want to thank you, E1, for participating tonight for my debut show here at A Team of Voices. I thank you sincerely, and we'll get a comment from Hatter.
Yeah, it's a long prayer. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
The peace you get when you figure life out, and hopefully you're not too old when that happens, because it's the acceptance of who you are, what you're doing here, is very spiritual, and you can't lose that.
Right. Good comment. Well said.
What's that? Is that the last one?
That's the last one. And how do I get out of here?
You hit pro in show. See what it says in the episode.
Okay.
Sort of at top.
This is in the way.
Right above the phone numbers. I think it's above the phone numbers.
In the episode. Hatter, thank you for hanging out with me and keeping me company.
That
means a lot. And I will see you soon.
Welcome.
Good night.
All right. Okay. Good night.